Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. The parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled the accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with the few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Then the man who had received just the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money in deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw what worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
Here is a slightly outrageous question. Can you tell, by the way a person does their day job, how God will receive them on the last day? I want to get us thinking along the lines of the parable Jesus told. And here's another way of doing it, by asking these questions. They're sort of exam questions. How do you think you'd do if you're examined on your willingness to get on with the task unsupervised, or readiness to make the most of the job with whatever tools you've got? Ability to stick at a task over a long period. Readiness to take risks for greater rewards. You see, what we're looking at today is diligence. And the parable Jesus told seems to raise in my mind the question, can you tell by the way a person does their day job, their diligence, how God will receive them on the last day? Now let me say quickly, of course. Only God sees the heart. We can't actually tell a thing by looking at a person's work, or lack of it, how they'll be reckoned by God on that last day. But I hope it gets us thinking, because this is something Jesus was very concerned about. How do we use our time and opportunities that he's given us? Are we diligent? The parable Jesus told in Matthew 25, 13 to 30 is not about vigilance, keeping watch for Jesus' return and being ready for it at all times. That was last week's parable of the 10 bridesmaids. It's all about vigilance. This week, it's diligence. Here's a dictionary definition. Painstaking effort to accomplish what is undertaken. So the diligent person is one who applies themselves to the task with heart, mind, and soul. In the middle of a long section about his return, Jesus here deals with a question on lots of people's lips. How should we live in the period in between Jesus' ascension and his return, in the here and now? What am I to do with my life? Now, you don't have to be over 40, as I am, to ask yourself the question occasionally, does what I do with my life matter? Does it count for anything? Will it have any permanent significance? Well, if you ask that, you're asking a very important question. There was a well-known English comedian in the 1950s and 60s called Tony Hancock. In his last TV monologue in 1964, he performed a piece which has become famous as he was reflecting on life. Here's how it goes. I can't do the accent. "What have you achieved? What have you achieved? You lost your chance, me old son. You contributed absolutely nothing to this life. A waste of time, you being here at all. No place for you in Westminster Abbey. The best you can expect is a few daffodils and a jam jar and a black stone bearing the legend, "He came and he went." And in between, nothing. Nobody will even notice you're not here. After about a year, somebody might say down the pub, "Where's old Hancock? I haven't seen him around lately." "Oh, he's dead, you know." "Is he? A right raison d'etre, that is." Now, ironically and tragically, Tony Hancock committed suicide a couple of years later. We need to be able to say each day of our lives, this is worth doing. And as we get older, we need to be able to look back and say, I've not laboured in vain. That's what this parable's getting at. I think there are three big lessons. God provides, God expects, and God calls to account. Verse 14, God provides. Again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Now the man entrusted his property to his servants. The analogy Jesus is making is that God generously and graciously partners with us. He gives us gifts and then encourages us to get on with the job. Now all down the Bible there are stories of God involving his people in his great task, Moses, Isaiah. And the picture of a father involving his son in his tasks, working with him at the tools in the shed, at the job, is the picture I have in mind. And talents, well, the word talented has derived from this parable, but it doesn't fit the original meaning anymore. These days we consider someone talented to have skill and ability at something, normally hard won by lots of practice. This parable is less about skill and ability and more about faithfulness to God's call, readiness to work at using whatever the opportunities God gives us. God provides us with talents, opportunities for serving him. Are we diligent with them? The subscript in the NIV for talent says a few £100. What we now know is that a talent was a term for a huge sum of money, something around a region of 10 years' wages. So I don't know, £100,000 per talent, maybe 200, would be a better estimation. It's a large slice of the man's estate that each servant is being entrusted with, even if they're only given one. Hugely, wonderfully, abundantly generous. God provides. The parable is about a God who's invested generously in the people he's made. He doesn't invest identically in each of us, but to all of us he's generous. And he expects his investments to be put to work. That's his will for us, that we should use our lives. I have limited opportunities for speaking personally to people about Jesus, because I'm in my study and preparing most of the time. Occasionally I get to do evangelistic outreach talks and speak to large numbers of people, but compared to you folk, many of whom are in the workplace or at the school gates with friends, it's a different opportunity I have to yours. God provides opportunities to us at his discretion in different ways. It is gracious of God to give us each and every one opportunities. How are we using them? There's a story about the surgeon who was involved in a train crash, and while unhurt himself, he saw devastation to limbs that had taken place all round him. And as he tried to help, he was heard to say again and again, "If only I had my instruments. If only I had my instruments." Now that God provides us with opportunities to serve him is evident. They're there as we meet people day by day, speak to them, share our hope. I wonder if there are opportunities we miss, though, and God, like the surgeon, is left asking, "Well, I wonder if where my instruments are. If only I had my instruments." So the first point, God provides. Second point, God expects. He expects from us. The master goes off on a journey, and the rest of the parable is about the servants do with what's been entrusted to them while he's away. By the end of the parable, we know the master expects results. Hard work is acknowledged. It's a mark of faithfulness. And significantly, it's not the quantity in cold figures at the end that matters, but the diligence with what we had to start with. So we make a mistake here if we're looking at the different jobs people do in the world and arrange them on a spiritual scale. At the top is something kind of word ministry, and near the bottom would be, I don't know, washing dishes, emptying bins. That's a tempting way to arrange things, but it's not a Christian way. The highest calling any human being can have is to do what they can for God in the here and now, whatever the circumstances they're in. It's wrong for anyone to ever think or say, "Well, I'm just a dot, dot, dot." No, no, no. The key thing in circumstances is to be doing whatever we can with what we have. Flick forward to Mark chapter 14, verse 3. The scene's a dinner at Simon the leper's house. And a woman comes in and breaks open a vastly expensive jar of perfume, pours it on Jesus' head.